We at Mount Zion's Mission Barbados Four Square Church, with Senior Apostles Dr. Lucille and Chris Beard, invite you to tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory, to hear the powerful Word of God that will transform and change your life. Remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. Let's hear the Word of God.
Bless you. Good morning to all listeners in Barbados, the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you're listening from. I'm so excited to come again to you this morning to bring you the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. Praise God. On the third day, he rose from the dead, just as he said, praise God. And he is alive. He's alive forevermore. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, he has given us the promise, and it's real. We can have everlasting life. Wonderful promise. Glory be to his name. So excited this morning to be able to celebrate his resurrection again. I'm still in that kind of resurrection celebration more, Reverend Gail. I'm still excited because, you know, I love to look at the story of Jesus' death and then his resurrection, the life that he gave for us so that we can live with him one day forever. It's not just a passing fad, praise God. And so we can take time to really look at his life and see that he promised and he fulfilled his promise. He said he would lay down his life and take it up again, and he did that. Praise God. I want to say to all Christians, keep the faith. Keep your heads up. Keep worshiping. The God that we serve is the real God. The God that we serve is able. The God that we serve is the God that was in the beginning. That was the Word in the beginning, creating the earth and made all things in the beginning, and became the Word, and became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the God that we serve, and I'm so excited to continue to serve him. And I love the opportunity to talk about him and to be able to present him to the people that are listening and those that I serve at Mount Zion's Missions and across the world. Praise God. So with me again is Reverend Gail and Apostle Chris.
Good morning.
Praise God. And Elder Octave is smiling behind his hands. Praise God. I know that you guys had a great Easter. Praise God. And for me, Easter is a time of celebration. I look forward to it. To me, those two holidays, Easter and Christmas, very major for me. When he came as a baby in the manger, and then when he rose on the day of his resurrection. And I look forward to celebrating. Don't look forward to getting up so early in the morning.
5 o'clock is great.
I can't get these folks to move from 5 o'clock. I tell them, listen, you know, I'm not a young lady no more. But they wouldn't move for the 5 o'clock. But I thank God for the grace and the strength that he's given to me to continue. Praise God. On Easter morning, I shared a sermon on where have they taken my Lord? They have taken my Lord away. And I want to really, we want to go back and look at that. We want to discuss it. You know, they've taken away my Lord. That was Mary in the tomb, you know, when she went looking for Jesus. There's another virgin in Luke where there were several Marys went to embalm him. But this one I like is in John 20, where Mary went alone to see Jesus. And when she got there, he was not there. She saw the angels, she saw the linen clothes folded neatly and so on. And she stayed and met others, looked in, Peter and John. John reluctantly looked in and stuff, but then eventually he did. You know, go a little further. And they all saw the linen clothes folded. But Mary did more to that. She wept. She cried for her Lord. I want to just say this as well. I mean, I'm a Bible school student, thank the Lord. And I do know that Mary was crying for Jesus that was already risen.
Yes.
In his glorified state.
Yeah.
Praise God. So really and truly, he wasn't taken away. But the fact that Mary was there in agony and in tears and in despair would be caught in her head. She couldn't find him, and in her head, he was taken away. To her, It was very real. So I pull that part of the story to reflect where we are right now as a nation, not just Barbados, but the whole world. That you know, we're seeing Jesus being taken away all across the nations, in our politics, in our lives, in our schools, in our communities, all over. We're seeing the Lord being taken away. And so to me, it was relevant for me to use that analogy to show how she cried when she felt that her Lord was being taken away. She was weeping for him, not knowing that he was resurrected. Maybe a lot of them do not, remember the story. Even the two men that he met, were talking about this, to Jesus, and not knowing that it was Jesus. And he said, they were telling him, "You don't know where have you been? You didn't know this story about this Jesus that was here, and he died, and so on and so on." So they were looking for Jesus, but not looking for him to be resurrected. They were looking for him as a body. She was looking for a body to help to embalm. But the thing is that Jesus always told them, on the third day, I will rise. And so Mary's concept there, when she got to the tomb, was clearly, they have taken away my Lord. Yes. And I use that to reflect modern times. I use that to reflect where we are as a church. I use that to reflect where we are as a society, as a community, to show that how we should respond when we are aware of the Lord being taken away in every avenue in our country, in every area of our society.
Yes.
When we look for him and we don't see him, that's how we should respond, like Mary. We should respond that way because we are concerned and we're hurt because we dare not live our lives before our Lord.
That's right.
We dare not continue with life as usual if we're not seeing God honored and glorified in our nation, in our family, in our community, in our homes, in our churches. He must be Lord of all or not at all. Praise God. And I think that it's important to remember that Mary didn't just go by herself, but she went by herself, yeah. But she went back and she called two other disciples, Peter and John. Mm-hmm. And they came to the tomb. And at first, John was reluctant to go in. And then Peter, he went in and stuff like that, saw the linen clothes and so on. And then he was ready to go back to his mother. So both of them went back to their own home. And I want to use that analogy of them going back to their own homes. So sometimes we put the kingdom of God last. We put family first. We go and we make sure that everything is right in our homes. We make sure that all things are put in place in our homes. We think that we should be, church is too long. Church is taking too much from me. I got to do this at my home. I got to do this at my home. I got to do all of that. And we put church at the bottom of the list, as though it is a non-essential. But I want to let you know the kingdom of God must be first. It's kingdom first, right? If you seek ye first the kingdom of God, all things will be added. And so they went with a nonchalant attitude. We're going to get back to our homes. Just get back to our business. Get back to what we're accustomed doing. Jesus is missing, yes, but what's the big deal? Let's get back to doing what we're accustomed doing. And we have that kind of nonchalant attitude sometimes around, even in church, people are not really concerned if worship is not what it should be, if the people, the young people are not coming out, if things are not working the way it should be. People just, we have to be concerned enough, like Mary was concerned when she felt in her heart that her Lord was taken. The fact that she stayed and wept was because he was her everything.
Yes.
He was her Lord. He was her master. He was the one that gave her life. And I want all of you that are listening to know, if you're a Christian, that's how you should love the Lord. That's how you should see the Lord, as though he's your everything, because he's your everything. He gave us life when we had no life. He gave us purpose when we had no purpose. He gave us a reason to live when we had no reason to live. He gave us light when we were walking in darkness. He is our everything. And if we are missing him in our homes, we should be weeping. If we're missing him in our families, we should be weeping. If we're missing him in our schools with our young people, look, we are in a very sad place today in Barbados. I still feel the pain of the mother of Shonaton. Mm-hmm. I still feel her pain. It was at the fertilizer, as I said earlier. And when she wept, I could not hold back my weeping. I just couldn't hold it back. I felt her pain from her bowels. I'm sure every mother that would have been there at the funeral would have felt the same way. It was the mother weeping for her son. And it reminds me of Mary weeping for her God,
yes,
for her Lord. I'm sure that the tears of Mary, the weeping would have been just as painful and loud, and the groanings and so on. When we're not seeing God, we need, Barbados, we need to return to God, oh? We need to bring Jesus back. We have drifted too far away from the things of God. We boast that we are a Christian country, but we're not displaying Christianity in so much of our lives. You know, our young people, they don't want to church. We don't sign up to Sunday school. Working in the prison, I was really, you know, confounded when I spoke to the young men, and they tell me, I've never been to a Sunday school. I don't know the Lord's Prayer. I don't know the Psalms. I don't know about Psalms 23. I didn't know the Ten Commandments. Really? And you think that because we're a Christian community, parents are determined to make sure that they give the children a good foundation.
Yeah.
The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it will not depart from it. So if we're seeing that in our societies, it's time for us to cry. It's time for us to weep. And I'm going to let Reverend Healing, the others, share a few thoughts now. But while you're sharing, I want you to also share on your thoughts concerning the kind of personalities that you saw at the tomb. In other words, it was Mary who was weeping for her Lord. It was Peter who just was prepared to look in. He saw the angel and left. It was John who just looked in and just was not really concerned. And both of them went back to their own homes. But then Mary stood and wept. And because she wept and stood and looked and waited, God turned up and came to her. If you can share that, it'd be so wonderful.
Thank you, Apostle. The sermon on Easter Sunday, and I want to give a very wonderful and blessed good morning to everyone who's listening. It was so profound because that analogy of Mary waiting, looking, standing, weeping, and asking where her Lord, where have they taken her Lord, is the way how you were able to conjoin it to what we are seeing here, not just in Barbados, but I'm sure all across the Caribbean, that people are confounded by the things that they're seeing now. And our cry should be, where is our Lord? Where have you taken him? Out of the schools, out of government, out of places that he was before in. Our anthem has his name earmarked, stamped, enshrined. And therefore, his name should always be in everything that we do.
Amen.
And like Mary, we need to stand at the sepulcher or the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I recognize and when I look at it is that she was weeping. And it was not just a sob, but it says it was a lament.
Mm-hmm.
It was mourning.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sign of pain and grief.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't move. And I believe, Apostle, that today, the saints of God shouldn't move.
No.
Shouldn't move until they see their Lord.
Yes.
And you know what? Her crying drew not just Jesus, but it also drew the angels to come.
Yes.
Because John and Peter came, and they were like, I don't know if they would have been afraid and figured that the guards probably coming for them or whatever, but they quickly went back. They did not console her. And we need to, as Christians, be able to guard and watch over the Lord Jesus Christ and pull him back to us.
Yes.
You know, pull him back to the place that he ought to be. Give him the honor and the respect that is due to him. John and Peter just looked confounded. They left Mary there.
Yes.
And I believe that Mary called to them.
Mm.
Because they would have been the quote-unquote leaders
close to him.
Of the group. Close to him. They were his apostles. Mm. She was just somebody who came to follow him and wanted to do the right thing. But yet still she stood. And sometimes we might look to people that we think that would really stand by and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in this nation. And it only takes somebody who would stand. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have anything at all. They just want to weep for the Lord.
Yeah.
It's time for us to stand at the sepulcher and weep. It's time for us to stand at the altar and weep.
Yeah.
It's time for us to lament on what we see in this nation happening.
Yes.
We lament with for the women that have to bury their sons.
Yes.
And we also lament, no matter what the parental guidance was, we lament for the people who got to stay at the court gates and weep for young boys.
Yes, my God.
We need to change the trajectory of this nation, and we can only be like that when we are like Mary, weeping and lamenting.
Jesus.
She drew the angel to say, "Why are you weeping?"
Yes,
and then
Jesus.
She drew Jesus because
My God.
She stood there. Today, Christians need to stand.
Oh,
and
God.
Having done all that, remain standing
until
we soak the place, we saturate the place once again with the Lord Jesus Christ and cause him to be
Jesus,
Lord of all in this nation.
Praise
in Jesus'
God.
Name.
We both have been a Christian nation. We're moving so far away from God and the things of God. And it's really sad. And it makes your heart hurt. And you really need to be grieving. Because when you look around, you're not seeing Jesus. And I want to go back to that subject again of us having, where we have these our functions, our symposiums and our conferences, not having a prayer to God. Why would we do that? If we recognize him as the Lord who's been people's guide for past 300 years, if him sitting on the people's side, we have no doubts on faith, why are we putting him out of our prayer session, out of our conferences, and just saying, okay, all of us are here, and we all do reflections. You see, you can't go to a Muslim country and be said you're going to, you know, tell the Muslim, well, I'm here as a Christian, so I need a chance to pray. You must go understand, when you go to a Muslim country, you know they're not going to pray to Jesus. If people come to us, all the other religions, we give respect to all the other religions. When they come to our country, they must realize that this is the Christian country.
Yes,
and it's entrained in our constitution, the Lord being a people's guide, and they have to give respect to that. So we must erase God from our sessions because we want to give satisfaction to other people. Those things, we must cry until we bring God back. If we want God to bless us and lead us and direct us, we have to place him where he belongs. I said it earlier, I'm going to repeat it. He will not take second place, third place, or fourth place. He is Lord of all or not at all. Right? He don't play games. He is God of all. Praise the name of God. Apostle Chris.
Mary's attitude for me was one of the greatest of all, the most influential from the perspective that while the others ran away, she said she's going to stay. It didn't matter to her who was around or not. And it speaks great to the character and the decision and the commitment this woman had. How much her Lord meant to her. How much she missed the Lord. And because he was dead, that was not the end of his story. She was looking for something else. That's why she went to the tomb on that day to embalm the body to make sure everything is okay. When she got, she realized it's all over. Nobody's there anymore. That must be real troubling. Because this is Mary's. Remember, this is Mary's ticket to salvation. Before that experience, the Bible gives us a clear account what Mary's life was about. And how she was coughed at, how she was ignored, how she was abandoned. But here is Jesus, the Savior, ignoring all the issues we walk with on a daily basis, and set her free from the misery she was in. And it tells us that we can understand one's commitment is determined by the amount of grace that was imparted to that person. The level of victory, the level of deliverance, the level of deliverance she had, for where she was now to be accepted by the King of Glory, and she killed it for the whole awesome King of Glory was to the degree that she never stopped following him. She said, "I'm prepared to go away." The disciples ran to hide. She was there.
Yes,
and that speaks a lot to how much she loved the Lord. I can understand why she asks, why are you talking, my Lord? This is still my Lord. He may be dead. As far as she's concerned, but still my Lord.
Yes.
And although just still, I'm going to come back, she literally had to see the evidence. She did not depend on anyone say to her that God was like, I want to see myself.
Yes.
And she was right there. And here comes the biggest part of the story. She met Jesus herself.
Oh, yeah. She drew him back.
So, woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? He's not here. He's alive. Show me. Show me where he is. Show her where he was. She's asking to show me where he is so I can find him. And make sure we establish that bond that we had before. Because believe me, nobody touched Mary like Jesus did. And it tells us a lot to the level of salvation people have around us. You are committed and you are soul of the person who has done the most deliverance for you, the most freedom for you, the greatest deliverance one has had in one's life is determined how valuable and how big this thing is. Surely it was big. It was big to the degree that she never stopped following him.
That's it.
And she was there to make sure nobody steals the Lord's body.
Yeah.
Even though she was aware of the fact, that Jesus was dead, she knew he was crucified. She was there. She saw it all. But she also remembered just saying he's going to come again. Mm-hmm. And if it's just 1% chance, even though everyone says it's not going to happen, Mary said, I believe it's 1%. If Jesus said it, it's going to happen. And she turned there, when all the others ran away to me, said, I'm waiting for my Lord. And that created the greatest deliverance. She was the first to see the Lord after his raised, even before he went by the heaven.
What a blessing.
Amazing. Amazing, because she was determined. She was committed. She was sold out. And in spite of all the noise around her, she just shut her ears for the night. Disciples, when the eyes said that, I'm not doing that. I'm not neglecting my Lord now. I'm prepared to go with it. Mary was prepared to give up everything. I was demonstrated by action. Thank God. When we give to God, we never come short of what He gives to us.
Thank you so much, Apostle Chris. Elder Octave, please share your thoughts, sir.
Blessing, good morning, everyone. One of the things I realized from the entire episode was in Jesus' early physical ministry, He issued one set of instructions. He said, follow me. Today, in today's society, Mary asked a very important question. What have you done with my Lord and Savior? Mm-hmm. Where have you placed him?
Okay.
That question applies to us today.
Yes.
What have we done with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
What have we replaced him with?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not following the Lord Jesus? His commands has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
His benefits, his blessings, his salvation has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
So why have we replaced him with? And I leave the with you to put there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you replaced him with your job?
Mm-hmm.
Your car?
Yes.
Your material possessions,
yeah.
And at the end of the day, when they have left you, what do you have?
Oh my Jesus.
So my question to you today is, what have you replaced Jesus with?
You know, thank you so much. That's very powerful. I just pull from that to go back to when they went back to their own homes.
Yes.
And we're seeing so much of that today. People are not concerned about making sure that they build the kingdom of God. And they preach the word of God and they see souls saved. People are comfortable in their homes, watching the TV, you know, on Facebook, all kinds of stuff, but not doing the kingdom work.
Yeah.
Putting him last. And Jesus must be placed first in our lives. And so Mary, even when they were with her, she could say, well, you know, I'm gonna go with them too, because I'm gonna go back. She said, no, I'm staying. And her staying there, you know, our thing this year is a new era, a new day. She got her new day.
Mm-hmm.
And she got her new era. Because she saw the Lord. And he came in his resurrection. You know what? She was his first messenger after his resurrection. He gave her a message to go to his brethren, to his disciples, and tell them, go tell.
Get my word.
Praise God. Go tell. That I'm like, go tell. Go tell them that I'm going to the Father. Go tell. What an awesome, awesome era that she had.
Amen.
What an awesome new day that she had. This woman, a prostitute, saved by Jesus, delivered from those spirits, now ready to stay until he comes, ready to cry until something happened. And now it paid off. Our tears are always taken notice of by God. And we cry for our nation. God's going to see that and take note of it. We have to. Where we're at right now as a nation, we can't be complacent. We cannot have church as usual. We have to have intercession. We have to keep praying for our people, our nation. We have to pray for everybody from the top of the list to the bottom.
Yeah.
The man in the streets. Yeah. We got to pray for everybody because where we're at is frightening. It's scary. It's disconcerting for me as a minister to see where we're at. You know, we're ready to do anything and everything on any day. Nothing is respected anymore or cherished anymore. It's really, you know, it's really a sad thing. What have we done with my Lord? What have you done with my Lord? Where do you place my Lord? Mary said, they've taken my Lord away. And I can say that boldly in Barbados, they've taken my Lord away all over the island. And the young people don't know God. They don't know about praying. Too many young mothers are wasting their children. And they don't send them anywhere to learn about God. And so even the times when you go to school and have prayer and devotions, if that is taken out of the schools, then they're in trouble. And there's no way that they have a chance to hear about God or to be told, you know, that they are human beings that should connect to a God that made them. That's important. Where's the children the way to go? And when he's old, will not depart. And so today I pray we will cry. Church members, if you're listening, church intercessors,
keep weeping.
We need some mothers in Israel to wail and cry and weep like Mary and ask, where is he? And cry because they have taken away our Lord and we want to see him back in every area in Barbados. Life cannot be exciting and glorious and fabulous if he's not back where he belonged to. So I pray today that you will listen. If you're listening, I pray for you that God will touch you, your spirit, touch your heart, touch you, your inner man, and that you will come back to God. Love him. Reach out to him. Tell him, I need you, Lord. I've left you. I stopped serving you, but I want to come back. Today I pray for salvation, and I pray for recommitment to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Reverend Gail.
Thank you so much, Apostle. And we're giving much thanks and praise to God for our sponsors, Nature Isle Landscape. They are very professional at the work of landscaping and beautifying your homes and properties. Please give them a call and benefit from their services, 436-4753, 436-4753. And let us know if this program has impacted you, and you can contact us at 422-2512, 422-2512. And just one more announcement. We have our theatrical production is being held on Saturday the 26th at 6:30 p.m. The tickets are $15 for adults and children 5 to 12 years old. It's only $5. Your new day has come. God is faithful to his promises. It's going to be powerful and very, very enlightening. Come out, bring your family, bring your friends, even those who you know need salvation. It's going to be one that will blow your mind. God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend Gail. I bless everyone that's listening again. And I declare Barbados will rise up. Yes. And we will return to God. And we'll bring God back into our homes, into our families, into everything we do. I call that done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you as you tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory on Life 97.5 FM.